Let's welcome in Justin Bourne into the conversation. Follow him on Twitter at JT Bourne, co-host of Hockey Central on the Fan 590 Sportsnet, senior writer for The Athletic. You can also read his great work on sportsnet.ca. It is Satyar Shah with Bik Nizar on the program. Justin, your buddy Walks is not here. What he did do though, was he went to Edmonton and he talked to the local authorities and he became the conduit that allowed Edmonton to become a hub city. So he's taking full credit for it.
Did he actually go to Edmonton? Is that real?
No, he actually is. And I don't know if he's back yet, but yeah, he went to Edmonton. He actually went to Edmonton.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, you know what? When the NHL really needs to get important work done, everyone knows they call Andrew Walker and things get done. That's just the way the business works.
Yeah, unlike his dating life, he's a closer when it comes to hockey stuff.
Not going to touch it. Not going to touch that.
Yeah, we'll leave that one alone. But Justin, I mean, it really seems like we are getting to the point where hockey will be coming back, at least for phase three. We'll see if they can actually launch the hub cities. But everything that Elliot Friedman has reported, we've heard the other insiders, including the Bob Father, mention the same thing. Everything is trending in the right direction. It comes down to the vote. And we had Ren Lavoie on yesterday, and he said something interesting, something that I agree with, Justin, that ultimately when the vote happens, it's probably going to be overwhelmingly yes from the players.
Well, sure. You know, it's when it comes down to it, we're all trying to make money and get ahead, and NHL players are no different. And saying no to this is saying no to having paychecks coming in. So I think that's a pretty big convincer for a lot of people. And it's not just the short-term paychecks. I know Brian Burke on Hockey Central has made it quite a bit of noise about how, yes, it's totally fine that there will be people who want to opt out of this, who maybe don't love the deal. And there are plenty of justifiable reasons for those things. But at the end of the day, if you do say no and you don't want to do this and you know, the no vote happens, you know, hockey's going to look an awful lot different when it's not around for 9 months and people have moved on and gotten used to life without it. And there's, you know, the dollars and cents will look a lot different. So there is some obligation for these guys to get back, to vote yes, to show up and to make it happen, not just for the short term, but for the good, the health of the NHL in the long term.
You've got a piece up on sportsnet.ca right now. So we kind of know the framework of what this will look like. Who do you faces the most challenges if this plays forward and we're looking at a flat cap for the next couple of years? What teams stand out to you as are going to really face some challenges trying to build their roster moving forward?
Well, you know, there's basically all the teams that are at the top of the league. You know, you can't really, none of them are sitting there with ample salary cap space and a ton of flexibility in this league. Good players have to get paid to stick around. And if you pay your good players, you get up against it pretty quick. So, you know, off the top of my head, I think of, you know, Toronto. Obviously, they're in Vancouver. There's going to be some questions for them to have to answer in the coming years. And it's no different down the line, right? St. Louis has the Petrangelo situation. What does that mean for him or for maybe Justin Falk or someone else there? You know, Boston, Tampa, these teams, it's going to be really interesting. If you are a team like Ottawa, and let's say you're willing to spend to the cap to be competitive, you could really do some damage in deals right now. And I think the ultimate winner in all this is Seattle. Seattle comes in with no handicap, no crippling contracts, and they come in fresh at a time when everyone wants out. So Ron Francis is going to be in a pretty sweet position here to be able to milk this and milk some great prospects out of some players for being willing to take on a couple of larger salaries.
Do you think that's going to be a byproduct of all this? The you know, removing Seattle, because obviously they're not in the league right now, but just the are teams going to be trying to make big swings at trades to alleviate contracts, and the teams that got all this cap space are going to gobble it all up?
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing that's going to happen for sure is that the guys that don't have deals are getting their knees cut out from under them. That's just, you know, no one has extra money to give anyone right now. So the team can genuinely love a player. They can genuinely want to keep them. They can genuinely want to pay them, but they can't. That's just going to be a sorry, there's literally nothing else we can do thing. So those guys get hurt for sure. And then, yeah, everyone is going to be looking around the league and saying, okay, what team can take on extra money? And, you know, maybe we can unload this one bad deal. And with that, you know, we're going to have to tack on our number two prospect, and everyone will try to sell their number three and number four prospect, but someone's going to go to that team and say, take this bad deal, we'll give you our top guy. And I think those teams with salary cap space are the ones who are poised to really benefit from a difficult situation going forward with the salary cap.
We're in conversation with Justin Bourne, hockey analyst from Sportsnet here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and Bick on the program. And, you know, that's the real fascinating part as well. And we look at where the Canucks are as a team, because they have this young nucleus of incredibly talented players, Justin. We talked about them so much. But they have an obvious cap dilemma. And now with everything going on, how much can that affect the ceiling of this team? We have been talking about getting some flexibility, you know, build on where you're at. You know, the Canucks are in a position where unless they can do something creative, they might have to actually take away from this roster that still hasn't reached its peak.
Yeah, and that's, you know, for a long time there in Vancouver, it was like, you know, maybe we can get rid of the Louis contract, right? And it's like, no one's taking Louis now. That's just not an option, I don't think, you know, without tacking, you know, something pretty sweet to the deal. Yeah, and that's unfortunate for Vancouver. And my honest feeling about the Canucks are that the way they're built, it's a little bit, I feel like they rushed trying to be good, you know, soon. And they kind of got to win right now. Like, this is a great year for the Canucks to win. Before I do think they're at real risk of having to take away from it and certainly not being able to add to it. If you look at this Canucks team right now and you see you can't add to it over the coming years, I'm not sure that they're one of the five best teams who have a chance at the Cup, let alone the 10 best teams. So I do like what Vancouver has. And anytime you have a guy who can stop the puck and players who can score goals, you're going to be competitive in today's NHL, and that's going to be Vancouver. But I do think that in terms of a genuine top-end threat team, this is seriously handcuff, you know, what they're planning to do in the coming years.
And all of a sudden, you know, we've been talking about a guy like Chris Tanev, for instance. I mean, he never stays healthy to begin with. He's a guy that I would not want to be giving a long-term deal to. But one of the things people have been responding to us on texts and on tweets is, you know, does Chris deserve to at least see this thing through? He's been through everything now. Now it's part of the new core. Mm-hmm. But Justin, like, you can't be in a position as an organization where you give somebody something out of a sense of entitlement or a sense of, you know, they owe it to somebody to give them another chance at this. Like, you can't operate that way with this core and a defenseman who's 30, who's never played over 70 games in a season.
Yeah, they know you're 100% right. What may work out in the Canucks' favor is that a lot of these guys where, you know, you're saying, who's going to sign this guy? What are they going to give him? All of a sudden, nobody's going to give him anything anywhere. You know, like it's suddenly like good players are going to have to say, boy, I'm going to have to take a 2-year deal here until everyone works through this financial garbage over the next couple of years and things loosen up and teams see what they have after that. And hopefully I'm still playing well in 2 years, you know, so older players may end up getting what look like bridge deals. You know, the only other option is to give these guys backloaded deals once the salary cap goes up and the escrow payments go down. And, you know, I don't think Tanev is a guy that you want to give a real long-term deal to. So maybe he's a guy you can get for quite a short deal and just say, hey, stick with us for another couple. If you're still, you know, at a decent level then we can maybe talk about more money. But, yeah, I don't think you can do anything out of the goodness of your heart for, you know, for old time's sake or anything like that.
What is the line with that, though? Like, when is it fair to operate out of sentiment when you're building your roster?
Not never. Let me just not never. I think there is a place for it where, you know, someone's been with you through the long haul. I actually feel that way about Henrik Lundqvist and the New York Rangers going into the playoffs this year, where you don't think they're going to win the Cup. You got a guy under contract for another season. You want it to end amicably. He's going to be well-rested. You know, I kind of feel like he's owed the chance to play games for the Rangers in playoffs this year. And maybe that's not the smartest thing because that Shesterkin guy's pretty good. You know, so I think there are times where there's a place for some sentiment. You know, you don't want to be making sentimental moves on 5-year contracts. You know, you can make a sentimental move in a 5-game series. So I think you kind of got to draw the line at what are we talking about? You know, something that may hurt us tonight. And when I think of Sheldon Keefe starting Jason Spezza where Babcock benched him in a single game thing. It's like, you can be sentimental for a game. You don't want to be sentimental for 5 years.
And the Lundqvist thing is interesting too, because, you know, still one more year on that contract. And look, it's not his fault. Shesterkin's been so great, but it feels like the writing is kind of on the wall for a guy who's been such a great part of that organization. And it feels like they tried rebuilding to accelerate, to give him kind of one last chance to be productive in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, David Quinn, the head coach there, has talked about, you know, it being a tough call between all three goaltenders in New York. So he's also, by the way, he has owned Carolina this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do end up giving him a shot. And it's an awkward situation whenever you have a guy who has been there and has been great, and he's no longer the best guy, you know, pretty plainly. But yeah, those are tough situations. That's why I'm keeping a close eye on, because I do have a soft spot for those sort of stories.
One of the things, Justin, you mentioned on your article on Sportsnet.ca, we're in conversation with Justin Bourne, hockey analyst from Fan 590 Hockey Central on Sportsnet, was talking about the Olympics and what type of impact that can happen if the players, if they sign off on the CBA and the NHL can work out the insurance stuff and everything else with the IOC. We will see players at the Olympics yet again. And one of the things Bick and I were talking about was Brock Besser the other day. And we're like, well, he's an excellent hockey player, but he's not a lock on Team USA. Now when you start going through all these countries, especially the higher end ones, USA, Canada, Team Sweden, you start seeing how much high end talent there is. And as much as Canada clearly has the most depth and the most high end players, there's still only, you know, three top lines. You can only have a top four defense. When we start pairing these teams together, might we see the most competitive Olympic tournament ever the next time around?
Yeah, what's tough for Canadians is that the U.S. is getting better and only going to get better after this. So they are certainly an increasing threat. But I'll be honest, I don't know if you listen to Hockey Central at all today. Anthony Stewart and myself a little bit, really we're having a tough time pretending that this is going to be a fair fight. I understand that, yes, anything can happen, single game elimination. Sure, Finland's got some great players. Hey, how about that Stutzla kid in Germany? Sure, fine, yes, okay. But, like, you can put Crosby, MacKinnon, and McDavid on the line. Like, that's not fair. That's just not a fair fight. And I understand there's other good teams and other good players. But, yeah, I still think there's some separation there between Canada and the rest.
Did you build out a Team Canada roster today?
No, I don't need to. I got the first line. They're playing 68 minutes of 60 in my head. That's all I'm doing. We're throwing three guys over the boards. I don't care what else happens.
Okay, can I just note some names of, because I tried doing one this week. Can I just note some names if you feel like they should make it, or if you would put them on there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, Drew Doughty, yes or no?
No.
Okay, see, for me, it was one of my automatics. Dougie Hamilton.
This is tough too, because we're talking 2022. Like,
I know
Doughty had a tough year. I know Doughty had a tough year, and you know, wasn't great. I didn't think he was awesome the year before. 2 years from now, is he going to be, you know, one of the best eight Canadian defensemen? I don't think so. Dougie Hamilton, you can make a pretty good case that he might have been the Norris Trophy winner this year. He was somewhere in my top five. I think he was fifth. I put him in my fifth spot, I think, for the Norris this year. So, yeah, I think Dougie's a guy. If he's healthy, he's there for me.
Josh Morrissey.
I don't know enough. I need to see more. I need more games from Morrissey. I'm not there yet.
I tried building, like, the lefties on, like, the lefties-righties, as Team Canada loves to do, and I was looking for a lefty Canadian demon. I was like, you know, he might be on it for me. One last guy for me, Mark Scheifele.
Yeah, that's another one that it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. But I love Scheifele, and I have loved Scheifele since he put on the Canadian sweater as a junior. I've always thought he was he's a smart guy. He's a hard worker. And I know this is, you know, doesn't always mean something, but I know he's kind of a clean living guy, and that is worth something. You know, I think in a couple of years, if he has a chance to maintain his peak longer than most people, he'd also be a good fit lower down the lineup. If you wanted someone to, you know, sort of just play 13 minutes, someone's got to do it. I could see him being a guy who would fit in. Yeah.
Okay. What I got one here for you, Taylor Hall.
It's terrible to be like, yes, Mark Scheifele, you're passing on Taylor Hall, but I think I'm passing. I don't know. Like, it's a silly thing to say. I know he just won the Hart Trophy. It's so tough.
I passed.
He never wins, and I know that's stupid. He's been on not good teams, and he just, I don't know. It's really, it's such a tough one for me. I would have to look at my team and say, what do we need? What do we have? You know, Hall to me is a guy who you're going to want to have on the power play, and you're going to want him, you know, sort of involved. Is he a guy who's good lower down the lineup? I know everyone says just make four first lines, but like sometimes you got to play D. Sometimes you got to kill penalties. Sometimes games get more physical and you need to play different ways. I don't know. He'd be a tough one for me. I would need a pen and paper to sit down. It's like on this show when we talked about the 10 best players in the NHL. It's like you think everyone's one of the 10 best, and you break it down and go, wow, there's only so many spots, you know, for names. So that would be a tough one. I'd have to sort that one out.
Biggest flaw in everyone just saying, oh, just build four first lines is the other countries are doing that too. They have good players too. You've got to, like, you're going to play defense at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's, you know, the reality of hockey is, you know, I know everyone says, well, you just play in the other end all the time. It's like, okay, but when you're up in a game, you know, 3-1, I understand in theory you would like your team to just play the same way and play offense, but that's just not what happens in practice. You know, those guys, these elite first line forwards, take chances. And with chances, that means you're giving up more chances the other way. And you don't necessarily want to play that way when you're up in games. So, yeah, you need to think a little bit beyond just try to win 8-1 or whatever. Sometimes games get tight.
So my bold prediction for 2022 is that Sean Couturier is going to be the surefire Bergeron type that makes the team.
Love it. I love it. I love it, man. He's a couple years in a row here. He's been near the Selke Trophy. He's probably one of the best two-way. Well, he is one of the best two-way guys in the league. But I mean, at a position where you need someone who can do other things, kill penalties, yada yada. You know, if you give me Couturier or Hall, like, it's not close. I'm taking Couturier in a heartbeat. So yeah, that's a lock. Interesting to see what actual Bergeron looks like another year and a half from now. Maybe some of this time off will help. Maybe some condensed seasons will hurt. So you certainly have to assess that as the years go forward.
What I think is super interesting, and also with Jonathan Toews. What are they going to be like in 2 years? Not that they won't be good, but good enough to handle those roles. And these are the things we'll find out. Maybe even get a preview of it this summer. He is Justin Bourne. Follow him on Twitter, at JT Bourne, courtesy of Sportsnet, also The Athletic in Vancouver. Listen to him at Hockey Central at noon on The Fan 590. Sportsnet alongside Anthony Stewart. And by the way, Anthony Stewart, that dude's pretty funny, man. Like, I get a big kick out of his Twitter.
Yeah, and you know what? It's new. We didn't know each other when we started the show, so kind of feeling each other out early on. But now getting to work with him every day, it's been a delight. Now I have a good sense for how he operates. I'm getting to enjoy and play off his sense of humor even more. It's been fun.
Well, it's been a lot of fun listening to you guys. So keep it up, and we look forward to chatting with you again, Justin.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.